how was your trip into work this morning? Did you spend the commute idling in traffic, wondering why you bother with the city, dreaming of the birds, the gum trees, and the house prices of a town an hour or two away? Well, in a submission to the Economic Roundtable the federal government held in August, Westpac laid out the major productivity gains that would come from 1 million Australians moving out of the cities and into the regions. Its reasoning, it would take pressure off our big cities and give an economic boost to those regional centres. So let's talk through this. Could a mass influx of city slickers overwhelm regional towns? What planning and infrastructure would we need to enable this transition? And for you, is now the time to make the jump? If you've already made the move, I'd love to hear from you. What's it been like? What did you need to do to make a move to the region successful for you? Zoe Carney is a teacher in the town of Charlton in Victoria, population 1,000. She's sharing her life in the country with her TikTok followers. Zoe, tell me about Charlton. Importantly, not to be confused with Carlton.
Yeah, that's an important one. Charlton is a little river town. It's about 3 hours north of Victoria, like in Victoria from Melbourne. It's got a really great community here. It is very small, having come from Melbourne. But yeah, like you said, there's 1,000 people, so very small.
That is miniature. You grew up in Melbourne. What was it about Charlton that drew you there?
Well, I'd actually never heard of Charlton. I had to look it up on a map. But I was teaching in Melbourne for a few years and I was doing like quite a long commute and I had really big classes. And I kind of just felt like doing something different. And I had seen that the government offers like incentives to go and teach out in the country. And it had always been something that I kind of wanted to do. Like I was always drawn to it. And then I saw the job advertised in Charlton to teach like health and psychology, which are the subjects that I really love to teach with really small classes. So I just kind of jumped on it.
So you were kind of open to it anyway, and then the incentive was sort of what clinched it for you. How much did you get, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, no, that's okay. So the incentive was $50,000 before tax.
Wow.
So it was like a very significant amount. I just bought a little place in Melbourne, so that helped me a lot. And then as part of the job, they help you relocate, which is like all free, and they pack up your stuff for you. So it's like really helpful. And I was able to move into teacher accommodation when I first started here, which was also helpful before I found my own place.
How is it different to your life in Melbourne? I mean, I suppose, like, where do you even start, right?
Yeah, it's so different. It's a lot more, like, slow pace for me. So I just do a lot more, like, wholesome things. Like, I go on a lot more walks. I go to the gym. We have, like, a really small gym here at the school, which is really amazing, really, in a small town. Yeah, I just do a lot more, like, wholesome things. Like, I joined the netball club here, which is part of, like, the hockey, football and netball club. So I get really involved in that. And so that's, like, so different to what I was doing in Melbourne, where I'd often like go to restaurants a lot. So it's a lot like slower.
Yeah, it's
my life
like
here.
Trade off, right? Like you get a lot of good things, but if going to restaurants is something that you really like doing, like that's hard to do in a small town.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the like negatives, but also I think that like what I see here a lot is people just adapt to it and they're just like, oh, well, that's fine. Cause like when I go down to Melbourne or when I go to Bendigo, I get to go out and then like I really enjoy it and they look forward to it and you kind of just adapt and you look forward to those things more and like you really appreciate it when you do go and do those things.
Was there anything that really surprised you about moving out there?
I think what surprised me is like how much I actually enjoyed it. I was actually like thinking that I could be really lonely or like isolated and that I'd kind of just have to stick it out to get like, you know, just to have the experience. But I actually like started to love it. And that was a big surprise for me, even like joining the netball club and getting involved in that. That's been like a really positive thing in my life. And I guess just how like friendly people are and how much people have like tried to help me when I've needed it or tried to support me and like welcome me into the community as well.
So you're 30, if you don't mind me adding that on the radio.
Yeah,
do you think that it's
fine.
The
yeah.
right time in your life to do this? Like, do you think you would have done it in your 20s?
I think it was like a really good time for me because in my 20s, I like spent a little bit of time like traveling overseas. And that was something that I like really, really wanted to do. So I feel like maybe a small town would have been like not exciting enough for me in my early 20s. But now I think that I've had those experiences and I kind of wanted to like settle into a job and like get some experience. It just seemed like a really good time for me because now I feel like I really appreciate the things that the town has to offer and also like the teaching job here has to offer. But there's definitely an aspect of like exploration as well. When you move to a small town, everything's exciting. You get to go explore the other towns as well. So yeah, I think it depends on like the person's personality because you could also have a lot of fun if you move in your early 20s as well.
Totally. So this idea of getting 1 million people to move to regional centres, what do you think of this? What kind of advice would you give to the government if they do decide to adopt this policy?
I think like one of the main negatives of moving to like a regional area or a small country town is like the lack of housing options. So the housing is quite affordable, which is a real pro, but it's just like trying to get a rental. There's more like houses for sale, but obviously if you're just coming and you want to trial out a place, it's like a bit of a risk to buy it straight away. And maybe like help finding jobs as well, because obviously in careers like teaching and nursing, there's a lot of jobs in regional and like rural areas, but it's harder to find like other jobs, especially if people are moving in couples and with kids, finding schools and things like that.
Mm. So do you think this is a long-term move to the regions for you?
I'm someone who loves to like explore and have new experiences. So I don't think I would stay in the same town, but I think that I would love to explore like other towns or other areas in Australia. I'm definitely not wanting to go back to the city anytime soon.
Zoe, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Zoe Carney is Zoe Teaching on TikTok at Zoe Teaching if you want to follow her adventures in the country. Here on Life Matters on Radio National, I'm Tegan Taylor, and we're talking about Westpac's call for a million Australians to move from the cities to the regions by 2032 to give an economic boost to the regions, reduce pressure on the cities, but it's not something we could just do without some planning. So I'd love to know if you've already made the move to a regional centre. What has that been like for you? And what did you need to do to make that move successful for you? Already so many texts on this. One person says, we moved from Brisbane to Toowoomba. Pretty easy move because we still have hospitals, etc., and are only a couple of hours from Brisbane where we go pretty often. We love the less stressful lifestyle and the big sky. Everything is so much easier than living in Brisbane. A different perspective though, someone says, our town had a rush during the pandemic, mostly retirees, which overwhelmed the struggling health system with their complex health needs and extended the two-speed economy with more homelessness and cost of living backed by decades of impact from the mineral extraction industry. You don't say where you're from, but I think there's a lot of towns in Australia that would identify with that. Well, Liz Ritchie is the chief executive of the Regional Australia Institute. She's with me now. Liz, we just heard Zoe's story, but you've also made a move to the country.
Yes, good morning. And what a beautiful story Zoe's was. I just love hearing those personal anecdotes about how it's changed her life and how she's so much happier. And we hear them all the time. And I have to say that I personally concur. I am someone who was born and raised in a beautiful country area, a town called Deniliquin in southern New South Wales.
I know Denny,
and
yeah.
Good, good. You know Denny. And, you know, regional lifestyle is part of my identity. It's part of who I am. And it's certainly why I do what I do today. And so essentially, I've had a lifelong dream of ensuring that I could get back to the regions someday, but still have the type of career that I am able to enjoy today, and particularly special career leading the Regional Australia Institute. So, yes, we have made the move to the Bega Valley and a little town called Pambula, which is about 1,000 people as well, actually. And, you know, obviously, I have all the inside knowledge about what makes a town, you know, more livable and what are those factors of livability. So we were very clear to think about what it was that we needed for our family And, you know, but the biggest drivers were, for me, getting back to a community and ensuring that our daughter and our family can be part of that community and that she can enjoy some of that lifestyle that I had growing up in regional Australia.
Well, you mentioned livability. Someone on the text line says the trouble with regional areas is a lack of healthcare, lack of educational facilities, a lack of infrastructure. When you're looking at livability in a town, what metrics are you using?
Yeah, look, I mean, absolutely, they are important metrics. I mean, we know that education, health, employment are all critical, as is connectivity. So particularly air connectivity was important to me as I travel across the country in my role. And, you know, I guess when we looked at this particular area, education offering is more diverse here, and that was a very important factor for us. We certainly are experiencing the challenges, like everybody else, in relation to health and accessing, you know, local GPs. But we have managed to do that. I think the beauty for me in the work that we do in advocating for regional Australia and actually, you know, ensuring that there's a much stronger understanding and awareness about, you know, I guess what we call this major societal shift to regional Australia, is that, you know, we want to support more people to make this decision to move and to enjoy the benefits of living in regional Australia.
So there is a trend here. Your figures say that 2 in 5 city dwellers want to leave capital cities. Westpac's calling for 1 million people by 2032. If the trends that currently are underway continue, like what? How many of us are projected to move in that time anyway?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we thank Westpac for their contribution because they have picked up a piece of work that we launched several years ago called the Regionalisation Ambition, where we set a bold target to see 11 million people living in regional Australia by 2032. If you look at the numbers, we're hovering just under 10 million, and so it's very achievable for us to see an additional 1 million people living in regional Australia. And there are many reasons why this is good for our nation and good for our regions, notwithstanding that we've actually, you know, run the numbers. And we know that when we see the population reach 11 million, we'll also see GDP uplift of almost 14 billion. So there are some financial reasons why this is good for our nation right now when productivity is the new black. But more importantly is that we have this beautiful nation that has been, you know, very much seen as sort of deficit, with a deficit mindset for decades. And it's time for regional Australia to have its place back in the sun. We know what COVID did in terms of supercharging, but what's not well known is that that move was already afoot before COVID. And so people, because of the experience of COVID, I think that, you know, they've reassessed their lives. And I think you heard it there in Zoe's commentary, you know, looking at that slower pace of life, she's more connected to the community, it's more wholesome, she's part of a sporting club, and she's happier than she's ever been. And this is also borne out in a lot of the research that we put forward in relation to higher levels of well-being, higher levels of happiness, and indeed some of the latest research coming out of Jobs and Skills Australia is the higher levels of job satisfaction. So even in the face of health disparities and other factors like digital inclusion, where regional Australia doesn't have the same access, we still have these higher levels of well-being. And this can't be ignored because this will certainly make for a more prosperous nation.
So on the text line before, I read the text by this person saying that this influx has really put pressure on their town. We've talked a lot about the individual benefits. What kind of infrastructure and policy settings would be needed to support this migration without overwhelming these centres?
Well, it comes down to planning. We've been calling for a national population and settlement plan. And why this is important is because the reason that we're experiencing what we call growing pains, and particularly in relation to housing and the lack of rental housing in regional Australia, is because we didn't plan for it. We know that population growth significantly outpaced housing approvals and housing construction. And so even before the supercharge of COVID, we were always going to find ourselves in a shortage in relation to housing in regional Australia. And so from a policy setting, you have to actually plan for that. You have to look at the trends that are real, not the forecast, because the forecasts have never been correct in relation to population movement. That's why we've actually set that 11 million, which is 500,000 more than what the current population forecasts were. So when you think about population planning and you think about the housing that's required to suit it, you can also then start to think about the investment that's needed to match that and the jobs that are also required. So with that population settlement planning, we can target our investment more effectively.
Thank you, Liz Ritchie, Chief Executive of the Regional Australia Institute. Zoe Carney, a teacher who made the move from the city to live in regional Victoria. She is at Zoe Teaching on TikTok if you want to follow her adventures in the country.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.